WTUL News and Views is public affairs programming that brings you news and other thought-provoking content on WTUL New Orleans every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 to 10 a.m., featuring Democracy Now! At 9 o'clock. News and Views is glad to bring you programming that offers fresh and progressive perspectives on New Orleans and international issues. You can email them at WTULnews@gmail.com, follow them on Twitter at WTULnews, like them on Facebook, or call them at 504-457-VIEW. That's 457-8439. Past interviews can be found at WTULnews.tumblr.com.
Views expressed by individuals during broadcast on WTUL New Orleans are not the views of WTUL, its members or affiliates, nor those of Tulane University, its student staff, affiliates, or the Tulane community. Any questions or comments should be directed to the general manager at gm@WTULNewOrleans.com or WTUL, Levin-Burnick Center, Tulane University, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70118.
Thank you for listening to WTUL News and Views. This is Nora. I'm going to be interviewing Janet Hayes, who's from the Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition. This is in light of a press release that they're presenting this morning at 11 a.m. in front of the new jail on the corner of Perdido and Dupree Streets. So I'm going to go ahead and read the press release to give some background information, and then we'll start our interview. Again, you can tune in to Democracy Now! At 9 a.m. Thank you for listening. So this press release is from Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition. Religious leaders demand Sheriff Guzman's resignation. New Orleans. Several prominent faith leaders, in collaboration with the New Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition, OPPRC, will hold a press conference at 11 a.m. today, March 21st, 2016, in front of the new jail at the corner of Perdido and Dupree, to demand that Sheriff Marlon Guzman resign from office immediately, citing the pervasive culture of violence and neglect in the new jail. The latest federal consent decree over OPP has been in place since 2013. The federal court-appointed jail monitors testified last month that the new jail, which has been opened since September 2015, is far from safe. Despite Sheriff Guzman's promises that conditions would improve in the new jail facility, in the first 3 months in the new jail, the monitors reported that there were over 150 incidents, 119 of which had not been reported, including over 200 assaults, 16 attempted suicides, 44 uses of force, of which only 20 were reported, 3 sexual assaults, and 1 death from a chronic illness. The first 33 days of 2016 logged 114 incidents in the new jail, and just 2 weeks ago, Cleveland Tumblin died of self-inflicted injuries in the jail. And now Sheriff Guzman paid $1.7 million to settle the lawsuit of yet another inmate who committed suicide in the prison. Despite paying the large settlement, the sheriff denies responsibility for the death. The culture of violence and neglect that has plagued OPP continues into the new jail. Awaiting trial at Orleans Parish Prison is no less of a death sentence than it used to be, said Norris Henderson, a member of OPPRC and the executive director of VOTE, that's Voice of the Ex-Offender. We have waited 12 years for the changes Guzman promised, and now we are demanding that he get out of the way so that the changes our community needs can finally be implemented. The participating ministers say, we are not willing to continue supporting a sheriff who continues to mismanage our jail, who seeks to add more beds to a jail that already warehouses too many of our community members. We would not be responsible leaders if we allowed irresponsible things to happen to our community. This is about the violence and destabilization that members of our community face in there. As we celebrate Passion Week, isn't it divinely ironic that as we leaders don't want to repeat the errors of Pontius Pilate and wash our hands as our brothers and sisters are being crucified in Orleans Parish Jail? So that was the press release. I'm going to play a little sound clip from the sheriff talking about his platform.
I was elected sheriff with a plan to decrease the jail population and modernize our jail facilities with a trained team of law enforcement professionals. I have put that plan into motion despite the interruption caused by Hurricane Katrina. I am going to get this right and see this plan through to its completion. We have proceeded with an urgency to build facilities that follow the best standards of security and safety for inmate, staff, and visitors.
So that was a sound clip that came from the sheriff. Sheriff Marlon Guzman speaks about the shocking jail videos. It's from 2013. And he did a press conference in front of the new jail. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having us on, Nora. Well, me, I guess. Unfortunately, our other members had to work this morning, like most people.
Well, thank you for coming in. Can you speak a little bit to the press release?
Yeah, the press conference today is really meant to highlight malfeasance that's been happening in the jail forever, and including the new jail, which, as you just played, we were promised, taxpayers were promised, a new facility that was supposed to mitigate all of the violence and inhumane treatment that inmates were, conditions that inmates were living in the old facility. So, you know, I think Orleans Parish Prison Reform members are tired of excuses. They're wanting to the sheriff to meet the promises that he gave during, as you just played, his election campaign. It was part of his platform. He said he was going to give us a safer, smaller, more humane jail. Well, as you can see with recent deaths in the jail, and there was a suicide a couple of weeks ago, and then the fellow who died from sickle cell anemia, all these things are happening in this new facility. And it's just things have not improved. And then he's saying a smaller jail, which everybody supported a smaller jail. There was a resolution passed, I think, in 2012 saying we wanted a 1438 cap. And he continues to advocate for a third component to add on another 600 beds at the cost of upward to $85 million, which he's saying to treat people with mental illness. But, you know, the people with chronic mental illness that really need that kind of treatment, there are only, I think, there's around 20 inmates, I believe, that were originally housed at, or they weren't originally, but they were housed at Hunt facility. And so why do we need to get the Orleans Parish Prison Reformers saying, why do we need 600 more beds for 20 people? So it seems like if you're going to expand a jail, we know one thing. If there are beds, they will be filled. And we're not sure that they're going to be filled with the kind of people that need to be in them. So we're tired. You know, we want action, and we've seen across the country. I mean, I have been involved with reducing incarceration for people with mental illnesses, and you know, I'm in contact all the time with sheriffs from across the country, and even in Louisiana, who are advocating for reforms, who are advocating to reduce incarceration, and who are at the table, who are talking with other officials and agencies in cities and parishes who need to be at the table in order for these things to happen. And this sheriff has been standoffish with our mayor and with other agencies of the city. So
yeah, this is another sound clip from that same press release that he had spoken to. This was after the shocking jail videos from 2013.
Look, I'm not going to respond to paid experts that are getting paid to come up with a statement. You know, I'm here, I'm elected, and I'm doing the job.
So the consent decree plus some issues with the city council, like, the sheriff has been in conversation with people who are interested in reforming the prison, but that is his attitude? Or how does it come out in action? Can you tell us a little talking points there?
Well, I'm not sure what kind of experts he would listen to, if not paid experts, but again, I think that this is a demonstration, and taxpayers should really be appalled that they're spending so much money on incarceration per inmate per day, lawsuits that result from wrongful deaths, abuse, and neglect of inmates. One way or the other, we're going to pay for it. In Orleans, the jail monitors, have been very astute in pointing out these problems to Judge Afric, who is the federal judge overseeing the consent decree, and just came out with a new report the other day, about 3 days ago, I guess, that was a scathing report. It was reported in The Advocate about conditions in the new jail and how actually conditions are equally as inhumane as they were in the old jail. So these are all things, again, we were promised a humane jail. We were promised a more constitutional jail. We were promised a lot of things. And this isn't happening. We have to ask why it's not happening. And speaking of pay, in the Advocate article, the sheriff also mentioned that he can't manage the jail properly because deputies are being paid McDonald's wages. Well, I'm all for more wages and higher wages for workers and living wages. And I mean, check my record. I protested at Fight for 15. I do all those things. I'm absolutely in support of higher wages for people. But that's not an excuse to not being able to manage a jail properly. McDonald's has been a successful franchise for I don't know how many decades. And it's not because their workers are making living wages. It's because they have good management.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for. We want good management that builds morale. You know, deputies, the morale amongst deputies, and this was reported in The Advocate as well, is at an all-time low. And that's really due to the culture of management. It's not because of low pay, although people should be getting more money.
Right. I mean, it's at the low level of deputies. So the jail monitors report a 60% attrition rate of the 2015 hires and a turnover rate of 50%. But it's also higher up, right? So the sheriff's office has been poorly managed from the beginning of his time in office. The chief corrections deputy, Michael Tidwell, resigned. Then Carmen DeSadier was appointed, and she also resigned.
Right.
And she faced allegations that she abused people in the jail.
She was hired, basically. You know, it was interesting because after Michael Tidwell resigned, you know, there was the what do you call it, went out for looking for a new someone to take his place. It's not an RFP. I'm stuck on RFPs right now. But anyway, the job position came up. And, you know, we want to get quality employees, quality CEOs, quality chiefs into these positions. And there are people that are there that are ready and waiting. But unfortunately, the only people we can ever attract are people that have these records of neglect or abuse or, you know, unfortunately, DeSader, I believe her last name is DeSader. I mean, she came from Chicago, but she didn't come without, you know, without scars. So, I'm not making any accusations here, but the fact that the sheriff couldn't retain her was really shocking to us. It was really shocking because we thought that she would be the kind of person that would fit in with that culture, and even she would resign. So, I mean, what kind of people is the sheriff looking for to staff these positions? I mean, this is really concerning to us.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit more about some of the contracts that has been negotiated under Sheriff Guzman?
Well, yeah, and it's interesting that the Lens just won a lawsuit as well to, it was a public records request. They sued the city over a request for all procurements. So I don't know if any information is going to come out of that. But the sheriff did contract with Correction Care Solutions, or I believe that's the name. CCS is the acronym. It's Correct Care Solutions is actually a baby of GEO, the largest federal prison contractor in the country. And they sort of splintered off because they were specializing in healthcare and mental health care. It's a corporation out of Tennessee. Before the sheriff contract with Correct Care Solutions, those services were administered by the city to inmates, and definitely there were problems. There's no doubt about it. Everybody will admit that there were serious problems before Correct Care Solutions was hired. But, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater meant that we're now paying twice as much. And we're obviously not getting the services that we're paying for because we've had deaths in the jail, sickle cell anemia death,
right.
And the suicide.
So that was death. That was Calvin Thomas. He was 34 when he died of sickle cell disease mm-hmm. in the jail, mm-hmm. Not receiving treatment.
Right. And his family may or may not be at the press conference today. I know that the families of people who have perished have been invited. But again, people have to work. And, you know, the realities of most of the people that are in prison are low-wage workers and underserved and under-resourced communities. So, but there will be representatives there that can speak on behalf of them if they're not there themselves. And also wanted to mention that there will be postcards going around at the press conference. So if you or someone you know has ever been incarcerated at Orleans Parish Prison and you have a story to tell, you'll be able to write your testimony on one of these postcards and get it back to us so that and it can be done anonymously as well. So for people that are maybe afraid of retribution, which apparently there's a lot of retribution that's going on, you can submit testimony in confidence. But yeah, the Correct Care Solutions, you know, and as council member had pointed out at one point as well, we're actually paying, the reason we're paying twice as much is because we're paying for stuff like positions that haven't been staffed yet. So even though Correct Care Solutions, you know, have in the contract that there are staff members that are supposed to be working, even if those positions haven't been filled, we're still paying for them. Why are we paying for invisible people? You know, why right. are we paying for these things?
Well, so the contract is an $85 million contract, mm-hmm. and it was negotiated...
$16 million with the Correct Care Solutions.
Correct
it was a $16 million contract, which is basically twice as much as we were paying previously.
Right, and it was negotiated without the knowledge of other city officials. So it was using city
right.
money.
Right, yeah, there was a big dust-up that happened. I think the city actually, I believe, sued the sheriff over this, that, you know, this was done, the bidding process was not done in public, which, according to our sunshine laws in Louisiana, any RFP or any bid that's being negotiated must be done in the public's yeah. eye, and I know because I go to a lot of these bidding reviews and so on, and there are things that they can take up in executive session so as to not reveal the identity of some of the individuals involved with the corporations, but this has to, you know, it has to be done in public, and it wasn't. It was done very, in fact, that's why Michael Tidwell, the former second chief to the one from Chicago, DeSager, I think her name is pronounced.
DeSager. Yeah.
He resigned over that. I mean, he got called up on the carpet at city council one day for not following a public bid process, and he wasn't aware, I believe, that he had to. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know, but that's what he said, and it was shortly after that he resigned.
Yeah, I want to move over to the reentry program. I'm going to do another sound clip. This is from... a community report that airs on WYES.
The Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office does more than just house inmates. Through several innovative educational programs, it encourages prisoners to rehabilitate themselves by earning their degree. Alternative sentencing programs like transitional work and electronic monitoring are utilized for inmates who meet specific criteria. Support systems are in place for inmates after they are released from custody.
So there's allegations that the reentry program was actually motivated by profits, and it was ineffective and costly rather than restorative and rehabilitative. A major point that comes up is the housing of people that are serving state sentences in OPP. Meanwhile, a lot of... people awaiting trial in Orleans Parish are sent to far-flung parishes, you know, like away from right. the support systems, the jobs that they could be in.
Right. Well, this was going on now. The sheriff has decided that he's no longer going to have a reentry program for DOC inmates that were serving sentences at OPP, taking the place of residents. Hopefully there will be a resident reentry program that will be implemented, you know, just because the DOC was paying for it. So sheriff uses DOC money to pay for a lot of this stuff. But again, that's a testimony to just management style and looking for alternative ways to pay for things. But as far as reentry goes, there was also a 2014 study that found it to be ineffective, the reentry program, and reports surfaced of people serving state sentences being sent back to state custody after having completed the reentry program rather than being returned to their communities. So why are they not being released into the community? It's a reentry program.
And so it generated some revenue.
$2 million.
Mm-hmm. For OPSO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that the work, but this again, that was the work release program, and people serving state sentences that were working in kitchens and so on. But the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office is complicit, obviously, in profiting off of legalized slavery and involuntary servitude. This is what this is. I mean, and this is just a, this is prison is a new form of legalized slavery, and I know that. In the transition, he also talks about work transition program, and I mean all that is negotiating with the state to provide inmates to work on oil rigs and other parishes while still being housed. In one committee meeting that I watched, but I guess it was a year ago, it came out that these inmates are being paid $12 an hour, but 70% of their wages go back to the sheriff to do with whatever he wants. And the rest of the money, I'm not sure where it goes. But as we know, that being incarcerated also means that there are ancillary costs that come with that, including telephone bills. And there's various things that inmates get charged for in their families, which also contributes to the overall degradation of our communities, cities, and state when, you know. I mean, when one person's incarcerated, it brings down the whole family, which brings down the city, which brings down the state. I mean, but again, I just really think that taxpayers should be appalled at this is the way that their money is being spent. You look around the country, there are really great sheriffs running really great jails, but also looking for reforms and that understand these problems. And I, you know, it's just time. It's time that we get rid of this culture of corruption and you know the way that the jail is being run, according to testimony that's been given by deputies as well. I mean, this is why there's low morale. They're being set up against each other. There's, I mean, lots of testimony that people can find online if you go and look at jail ratings or sheriff's ratings. Yeah. OPSO, check it out. You know, it's horrifying.
Yeah. I mean, the sheriff has been trying to get more money. This is from 2014. The sheriff and the city had reached a partial agreement. I just want to play this real quick.
We're able to hire some people that are essential for us to comply with the consent decree. We're also able to move forward with a sound funding base so that we're not going from basically month to month. You know, we'll be able to get at least a couple of months ahead.
So that was 2 years ago in anticipation that the funds that the sheriff's office was receiving would be better managed, you know, get a few months ahead in budgeting. But what we're seeing and the reason that the press release is coming out this week, you know, is related to those promises haven't been.
Yeah, again, and, you know, it's just one thing after another. I mean, we wanted a smaller jail, 1438 bed cap. Everybody agreed to that. The sheriff campaigned on that promise, and now we see him wanting to spend another $85 million of FEMA money on a third component to house people with mental illness. When obviously people with mental illness shouldn't be in jail in the first place. We really should be advocating for community services, programs, and facilities within our communities to absorb that population so they don't have to go to jail. And this is happening in other cities across the country. This was what's frustrating for me is New Orleans seems to be caught in these nitpicky political battles, you know, political will over someone else's political will. I mean, no offense to the sheriff. The sheriff is actually a very nice person. I've met the sheriff. He's very personable, you know. But, you know, it's not about the person. This is about management. You know, he's just not suited for it. And we need to find somebody who is better suited for that position, who can clean things out, who can really meet the promises that have been made to the city that all residents voted on, all residents want, or maybe not all of them do, but the majority do, which is, you know, and this is why Sheriff Guzman won re-election. He won on promises that were made to citizens, residents, and taxpayers of the city. And these things have not happened. And it's been demonstrated over and over and over again in federal court under Judge Lance Afric, the federal consent decree monitors, the prison monitors have put out report after report about malfeasances that are still happening within the jail. You know, and they're paid. I mean, and the sheriff is complaining that there are paid experts and he's not going to listen to them. Well, that doesn't leave much room for options in terms of how to get the things that we want out of this person. This is the only thing that we can do is replace him at that point. If you're not going to listen, and you won't listen to your employees, you won't listen to citizens, you won't listen to taxpayers, you won't listen to city council, you won't listen to anybody, there's no other options. I mean, what do you do? What do you do? So this is why we're holding the press conference today. It'll be at 11 o'clock near the jail on Nora, you've got the
on Perdido and Cortez.
Right, yep. Right near the new prison facility. And people are being asked to attend. And if you have been formerly incarcerated or spent time at OPP and have a story you want to share, you can come. You can share it in ways that are anonymous or you can share it publicly. And it's really interesting to me that, you know, a lot of faith leaders who formerly have been very strong support of Sheriff Guzman and helped him campaign. And I supported Sheriff Guzman during the last election as well. So, you know, I really thought out of the three candidates or four candidates that were running that he was the best choice. So it's really interesting to me now that, you know, a lot of the folks that were really heavy behind Sheriff Guzman are now calling for his resignation. And again, I don't think it's personal. I really don't. I think this position just requires somebody that's better suited for the job, that can do the job. We need someone who can come in and clean house. And, you know, so far anybody that's come in to try to do that's been dismissed. So, but here's where we are, and this is, you know, where this country is moving in a different direction in terms of incarceration, wanting to reduce mass incarceration, looking for alternatives, more humane alternatives, because we've found out that we can't incarcerate our way out of our problems and the culture of punishment of inmates. Yes, if a person commits a crime, they should serve time, but they're still human beings, and they're going to come out of jail. Most of them are going to come out of jail, and we want people to come out of jail better than they were before they went in. And that's not, you know, we've just seen that going to OPP is like going to crime university. People, despite programs that are being implemented, and I know there was a thing that came out of PR, release that came out about spiritual programs that are being implemented, that, you know, some faith-based leaders showed up for that. Those things should be happening anyway. And also inmate, if regardless what religion or what faith they practice, or maybe they're atheist, should be able to call on whatever spiritual help they need when they need it. This isn't really even a program, I don't think, that should be being implemented by the sheriff. I mean, this is something that I think people are entitled to, you know, just by the fact that they're in prison, they have religious beliefs, they have faith beliefs, and they should have access to the leaders of those different religions whenever they want. So, you know, anyway, here we are, right? So, but again, what do we do? A whole lot of taxpayer money is being spent, not being spent well, in the opinion of Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition. It's just not being spent well, and we need to do better. And we're not going to get better if we don't have a sheriff that can listen, that's going to listen to the people that can help make it better. So we're stuck. What do we do? You know, okay. Resign. Let's get someone in that can do the job, that's willing to listen and willing to make improvements and move this city forward in a positive and humane and holistic way. You know, it's happening. It's frustrating. Again, it's frustrating for me because I see this happening in other counties and other parishes. Tom Cook in Chicago, over Cook County, you know, they have the largest jail in the country, and they're working on reforms right now that are really positive. Got a great sheriff. He's at the table. He wants to do what's right, and he's doing it in a meaningful way. You've got the sheriff out of Bexar County, otherwise known as Bear County. That's where Leon Evans started the Restoration Center for People with Mental Illnesses as a one-stop shop. The sheriff there, she's a rock star. You watch her speak, you just want to throw your arms around her and hug her for all of the amazing work that she's doing to reduce incarceration. And they have reduced, and really reduced their incarceration rate, especially for people with mental illness, and help work on this one-stop shop restoration center. And then you have the sheriff out of Broward County, or the police chief out of Broward County, retired Michael Biasati out of New York, all of these people. I mean, there's so many people now that are just really rock stars, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of reducing incarceration, especially for people with mental illnesses. And we know that the statistics show that 65 to 70% of people in jails and prisons have a mental illness. So you can't talk about reducing mass incarceration without addressing mental illness. And that, you know, there are people that are really doing it. Our sheriff, his idea is to build a mental health jail. We know that jails are the worst places that people with mental illnesses can be, for various reasons, which we can get into in another topic,
another
show.
Yep.
But yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. But there's a lot of can of worms, and we got to deal with our cans of worms. So let's get someone in that can, that can do that.
Thanks for talking to us. This is Janet Hayes. She's representing Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition. OPPRC will hold a press conference today in collaboration with several religious leaders from across New Orleans to demand an end to the ongoing culture of violence and neglect that persists in the new jail facility. Thank you for being with us, Janet.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to jump ahead into the Prison Industrial Complex newsletter if you're looking for something to do this week. Again, it's today at 11 a.m. on Perdido Street. You can join OPPRC at the new jail on Perdido between South Sacedo and South Gayoso. That's the Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition press conference.